experiments. And do so, you express God's radical, radical love. Like I said, this is tough stuff. This is really tough stuff. Not defending when I have the full legal right to do so. But what's the bigger picture? Setting ourselves to the side, and God, what do you want here? What are you desiring to do? And then Jesus takes a little bit of a turn. And so before we go there, you know, the scripture isn't obviously saying, hey, if you're in a violent situation, if you're doing whatever, you know, express the full legal limit of the laws. If somebody's beating you, hurting you, doing whatever, then please, by all means, seek your legal rights. But if it's just, for example, the slap on the right cheek, this insult, if you're just being insulted, we'll seek, you know, just turn the other cheek. Allow that to happen. Let him get another insult in. Try to restore that peace. And we have an interesting, now verse 42, this isn't somebody oppressing you. So I'm not sure what other, in your Bibles, you probably have section titles, you section headers. Mine says retaliation. Don't know what yours says. Those obviously aren't inerrant God-breathed. Those are man put in there. But this isn't retaliation. Verse 42, give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. If somebody asks, when there's this genuine need assumed here, and in the scriptures, it says that you're supposed to, hey, if there's a Jewish brother or sister and they're in need, they fall on hard times, you're supposed to help out the needy. That's why, another reason why when they trim their fields, they do their harvesting, they're supposed to leave the corners unharvested. So that way the poor can come through and they can still get fed. Assuming that they're generous needs, St. Augustine says, give to everyone that asks, not give everything to him that asks. So there's still this discernment, but if somebody begs from you, we're supposed to, Jesus says, to have this heart of generosity. Don't refuse the one who would borrow. It's Deuteronomy 15, we'll read it for you. If anyone among you, one of your brothers, should become poor, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother, but you should open your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his need, whatever it may be. Take care lest there be an unworthy thought in your heart. It can be easy to look down on people. Well, how'd they get poor? What bonehead decision did they make? What sin did they cause to get here? Kind of elevate yourself, make yourself perhaps God in that situation. And your eye look grudgingly on your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and you be guilty of sin. It says you should give to him because for this, do I have another? Shall give to him freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him, because for this the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and all that you undertake. So we see here way back in Deuteronomy 15, God has always had a gracious and merciful heart. This isn't a God of the New Testament thing. This isn't just Jesus saying be kind to poor people. This has always been God's heart. So as we look at all these things, what is the better righteousness? What is, Lord, what would you truly have me to do here? Sometimes it's laying aside our personal rights that we have. It's all about the matter of the heart. So we looked at retaliation, and now our second easy topic, loving your enemies. Verse 43, you have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But Jesus says, I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Jesus addresses his last, you have heard, the loving your neighbor. Leviticus 19:18 tells him, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And so what the Pharisees did, so it was the love your neighbor, yes, how scriptural, but the Pharisees would add in there with their own logic that by you exacting revenge and vengeance on your enemy, God was using you as his means of judgment. And who doesn't want to be used by God? And who, if we're honest, the flesh really loves being used by God when we can finally kind of get that person, don't we? Our flesh loves getting even. That's why our flesh doesn't want to turn the other cheek. Our flesh doesn't want to give that extra tunic. But Jesus corrects their faulty logic. He says, love your enemies. So once again, this is more than just ignore them, more than just do not retaliate, but doing this extra. Love your enemies. Romans 4:4 says that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. I think it's Romans 2:4. Paul writes, God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. If we're gruff and we're harsh and we're whatever with our enemies, people just stick in their heels, don't they? If you continue to retaliate, the enemy remains the enemy. He says, pray for those who persecute you. So love your enemies. It's praying and praying, I would say, for their benefit. 1 Peter 3:9 says, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you are called, that you may obtain a blessing. So we're called to not just pray for our enemies, but bless our enemies. Pray for good stuff for them. Well, we could be, okay, we could obey the letter of the law here and says, all right, pray for your enemies. And unfortunately, I've heard these prayers. Lord, bring their evil back upon their head, that you would judge them and you would do all this horrible. That's not at all God's heart. And you know, God will do that, but God doesn't need our prayers to get vengeance. I'm going to say from the pulpit, that's horrible. Pray for those who, the heart here is pray for, okay, if you want to pray for the softening of the heart, Lord, I pray that you would change your heart, that you would use them mightily for your kingdom. God's heart is that they turn their evil and turn back and turn them into good. Not pray for them to get what they deserve. Pray for softening. Pray for them to be a benefit for the kingdom. For God to use them mightily. Not for God's vengeance. Remember Jesus on the cross, what did he do? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't say, Lord, rain down fire and brimstone upon my enemies here. I didn't hear any prayers of that from Jesus. But that's hard. Our heart doesn't want that. Our flesh doesn't want that. Our flesh wants that retaliation. So why do this? Verse 45, so we can be like God. So you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. We be like God. We pray for those blessings. We pray for their good. We show that love that where they don't deserve it. Remember, God died for us. Jesus died for us when we were undeserving. He makes the sun rise on the evil and the good. The sun rising is a good thing. We need the sun for the light, for the plants, for all sorts of good things, for warmth. If it stays cold, it'll stay. If it stays dark, it'll stay frozen. We need that light. The rain sends rain on the just and the unjust. Rain is a good thing. In this agrarian society, they need rain for things to grow. The county could use a little bit of rain. It might rain this week. It might not. I don't know. I'm a pastor, not a meteorologist. But he sends the rain on the just and the unjust. The rain is a good thing. Too much rain is a bad thing. But he sends the good these good things onto the just and the unjust alike. We should not be just discerning, well, you're evil, so you don't get any. You've been kind of whatever. You're my enemy. You don't get anything. That wouldn't be God's heart. And like I said, this stuff is tough. These last two things, these are really hard. These are impossible without God's help. These are impossible without the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, that's why, well, we'll see this in our closing. Without the Holy Spirit, I just do what the flesh wants. The flesh wins, and guess what? You guys lose. When the flesh wins in my life, everybody else loses. And I don't even win when my flesh wins. I feel like it wins in the moment, but it doesn't. Now we go into the consequences. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? What blessing, what favor do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Remember these terrible, horrible people who are just gouging? They love who loves them. That's a natural human response. If somebody's nice to me, I'm naturally nice back to them. If somebody loves you first, you're naturally loving and kind to them. And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Not even the Gentiles do the same. Well, this is just what people do. This is more or less naturally how we're wired. We love and we like those who love and like us. But something has to change. Something has to be different. And that difference is the Holy Spirit. The difference is the Holy Spirit. Remember, what's the first fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians chapter 5? Love. Yeah, the first thing is that love popping up. So yes, I can love because I've first been loved by Jesus. I can do this not because Tommy's a particularly loving and nice guy. I mean, he's sitting there all by himself today. I love you, Tommy. Thank you. Okay. Well, you got to pray for all those folks there. You got to pray for all these spots. But it's so easy to love the people who love you first. I don't even know why I picked on Tommy there. You're easy, yeah. Let's hope not. Maybe I won't go to the door at the end of the service today. But we can first love because the Holy Spirit has filled us with the love. God's loved us first, so we can still just pour that out, even if we don't get it reciprocated, even if we get the opposite back. All right, we'll turn the other cheek. We'll do whatever. We'll seek that greater good, that greater righteousness. And kind of summing up all these six you've heard, you therefore must be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. That's a pretty big, That's a pretty big standard. Once again, impossible without God, impossible without the Holy Spirit's empowerment. Which is why it's a daily, in our quiet time, in our prayer time, Lord, help me. Lord, I present my members to you as instruments for righteousness, Romans 6. Use me. I present myself as a slave to you, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, Lord. Use me, Lord. I can't do this by myself. We need God. And so Jesus' whole purpose, remember, Jesus is preaching this before he's died on the cross. There is no Holy Spirit for all. There's a Holy Spirit for a couple. But this isn't everybody. He's preaching this to the Jews. And so he's working on their hearts. They're saying, oh, yeah, I want to do this. But man, I can't do this. It's so impossible. Yeah, turn to me. You can't do this on your own. I heard a great parenting advice. So when your kids mess up, because kids mess up, especially when, a great tool when they're not saved yet is, they sin, they do whatever wrong. And so rather than coming down hard, and sometimes you need to, but just, explain the spiritual truth. Well, yeah, of course you did this. It's impossible for you to not sin. You're saying without placing your faith in Jesus and you put it in kids' words, child's words, but you make them understand the spiritual what's going on. Well, yeah, of course, without Jesus, you can't do this. He'll help you as much as we rely on him. This is why Mike at the jail is, okay, here's great stuff, but you can't do this financial stuff. You can't do this anger stuff without the help of Jesus. Doesn't matter how many times you come to church, how many Tozer books you read, how many times you read through the Bible, if we're not relying on him. So as we close the heart of this is, well, what's that better righteousness? What's that, Lord, what are you asking? What's that deeper thing here that you're asking? We're created to respond to love with the love of God. We're called to respond to other folks. We'll walk through Galatians 5 here very quickly as we close out. Jesus, or the Apostle Paul says, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Desires of the flesh say, man, if you smacked me, I'm smacking you back twice as hard. If you're my enemy, well, you got a bigger enemy now in me than I have in you. That's what the flesh says. But he says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify those desires of the flesh. For the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, and the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. They are opposed to each other. That's why a walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. This is a daily thing. This is an hourly thing. And he goes on. Now the works of the flesh are evident. I won't list them out here. But Paul writes, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Probably, they're pretty evident. this is bad stuff. He said, oh, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy, it's peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We're able to do these things. So if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. How do we do these better things? It's hearing from the Holy Spirit. Lord, help me. Help me to do these things. So I'm going to close us in a little time of prayer. Lord, help us. We are naturally wired to defend ourselves. We're naturally wired to look out for ourselves. We're learning to seek your will first. But it's hard, especially when our pride, our self-righteousness, our self-pity, all of our self-things, they get in the way. Lord, help us to be people that reflect your truths. Lord, help us to love our enemies. Lord, help us to pray blessings upon our enemies. Pray for you to bless them. Lord, work out that gnarly nastiness inside of our flesh, inside of our hearts, and Lord, fill it with your Holy Spirit. May we be a bright light changed because of you and your grace. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.